Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. If you want to step back in time in a big way, you can do that right now at Fort Stevens, at the first ever Astoria Fur Trade Encampment. Or you can go to one of the many high school reunions taking place for the Bicentennial Super Homecoming, or you can listen to Judy Collins at the Liberty Theater. There are a lot of educational, inspirational, and fun events happening right here in River City over the next few days. Today, I have the two historically appropriately dressed fur trade encampment organizers, also called bouchoirs in French, who made this unique fur trade encampment possible, Astorians Jane and Jeff Donnelly. And I also have in the studio Clatsop County Historical Society Marketing Director Sam Resko. Good morning, Jeff Donnelly.
Good morning, Donna.
You're looking quite dapper in your felt hat. What do you have on, Jeff? Tell us.
Well, I have on a homemade checked calico shirt, which my lovely wife made for me, and a pair of tanned deerskin pants with appropriate fringe down the sides, and of course, the ubiquitous moccasins.
All right, yes, and with your mustache, it looks quite dashing.
Thank you.
And Jane Donnelly.
Hello.
Good morning, Donna. How are you?
And tell us how you're dressed, please.
Well, I am in a 1811 day dress that would be period appropriate of the time. You would not have found the women out here wearing this attire because there were no women out here, white women out here at that time. So I am correctly dressed. I'm just not quite in the right spot.
But well, okay. And Sam, you look like you are dressed.
I'm completely naked.
Yep. Oh, all right. This is a very interesting program you're now listening
scary.
To. And okay. So yeah, Sam, you look very buttoned up today. Very kind of preppy. And
I wish I could say I was in a period appropriate costume, but no, just my normal ugly self. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not true, as most of you, if you know Sam Resko. But at any rate, okay, so now we have this rowdy group in the studio. And we're going to talk a little bit about this very unique event that's happening, which is just phenomenal for children and families and people of all ages, because it is a historical event. I mean, to have this encampment here in Astoria, and Astoria started with fur. It's all about fur. So how did we get this fur trade encampment here? And well, let's just talk, Jeff, about your background. How did you get involved with becoming a participant and a camper with fur trade encampments, which happen all over the country?
Well, like most kids that grew up in the 50s and 60s, I grew up watching Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett on TV. And I always thought it'd sure be a lot of fun to run around in buckskins and carry a flintlock rifle and do all kinds of adventurous stuff. And then when I got to be an adult, I found out that there are thousands and thousands of people who do this as a hobby and avocation, and looked into it more and, found out that you could play mountain man just about every weekend of the year somewhere in the lower 48 or Canada. There are even people who do this in Europe, which is kind of surprising. See a teepee set up in Germany, but it's really a worldwide phenomenon. People who love history, love to teach history, love to get involved in the making of period correct items for themselves. There are fabulous gun makers who turn out period correct firearms that are actual works of art. People who make furniture, clothing, blacksmiths. And it's just a way to totally immerse yourself in the country's fur trading history, which has been basically what the United States started as and what generated most of the country's wealth for a number of years. Hundreds of years, actually.
I don't think a lot of people realize that. I mean, that connection between the wealth of the United States and its expansion, certainly westward expansion, and even on the East Coast, the fur is what did it. And certainly here in Astoria, John Jacob Astor's party, fur trading was why they came here. And of course, then later, salmon became king in Astoria. But the history of the United States is so connected with fur, which, as Sam Rasko pointed out too, fur equals wealth.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
It certainly did. It certainly did. And how appropriate to celebrate the story's bicentennial than by having a fur trade encampment. I mean, that's what they did. That's why we are here today. So I think it's a great opportunity, and I encourage everybody to get out there, young, old. It's a free event.
It's free, and it's not like you just go and you see a tent or two. There are almost 100 canvas tents out there. I was fortunate enough to go out last night just at dusk. The event actually is happening right now. Today it's open at Fort Stevens, and it's happening from 10 o'clock to 6 p.m. So I was fortunate to
take every day all the way through Sunday.
So you can take your family out right after, take the kids after school and just pop out there, because you just won't see something like that again unless you travel to Bridger or, you know, Wyoming or something like that. But so there are almost 100 tents, and there are a couple of little kitchens or eateries, and there are bead stores. I mean, and everything is historically correct and appropriately correct.
Absolutely.
And it's big. I mean, there's a main street. It's not like, I was fortunate enough to walk around at dusk last night just as the moon was coming up and the little campfires were starting. And what a sense of community those canvas tents.
Oh, it's a wonderful community. It's so much fun to go and camp and have people next to you that they have three generations camping in the same camp. And this is something that is passed down through generations. And there are people who do this as a living. There are professors who come out and who are involved in history. And this is their little piece, their little expertise area. We just have a huge variety of people who have taken an interest in this period of time and have embraced it and used it as a hobby. And then usually they will take one little piece within the fur trade, and that's what they'll specialize in. We have people who do amazing beadwork, amazing woodworkers. We have out at the encampment, we have two professional interpreters, a woman down from Fort Nisqually who does a first-person interpretation that is just out of this world. She's more a French interpreter. She does a lot of the voyageur stuff. We have a fellow from Spokane House who's from Coeur d'Alene, and he has the most fabulous campsite to look at. Everything he does, from the food he eats to the way he cooks, everything is perfectly period appropriate. I mean, there's nothing plastic hiding anywhere in his camp. His is all period, and it's fabulous.
And what did they eat? And what is, I saw that there's a fry bread tent.
Yes.
And so what is the food of the era? And if people are wondering, what time frame are we talking about?
Our campsite is from 1811, when John Jacob Astor's group arrived out here, to 1846.
Okay.
And that was the time when the Americas actually got eminent domain over this area.
When the British American...
they agreed on the 49th parallel.
That's right. Exactly. Okay, that's a simple way of putting it. Okay, exactly.
That's why we like to say, if it weren't for Astoria, we'd be in Canada today.
That's right.
And we do have our Canadian friends in camp. And as we were setting the camp up, something that we felt was really important, because I grew up in Portland. We had Fort Vancouver, we had Hudson's Bay, and it was always Hudson's Bay. You come out here and you learn that we had Hawaiians. Not only did we have our local native population out here, and when John Jacob Astor came out, he wanted to trade with the local population. The other fur groups actually brought their own men out and had their own men go out and do the trapping. Astor's group came out to set up stores to buy the furs from the native population. So it was kind of a different dynamic. So we had not only the native population involved, we had Hawaiians, there were Russians involved in the fur trade out here, the British were around, Americans and the French, and we have all of those out at our campsite.
Yeah. We actually have a couple who interprets a Russian fur trading campsite, and they speak fluent Russian.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's really
fascinating. So it's kind of an international feeling at the camp in a lot of ways. And Why was fur so important at that time? It was, what were people using this fur for, the beaver fur?
Well, you made mention of my top hat that I'm wearing, which is actually a wool felted top hat. But at the time, the high fashion in Europe was a top hat, or basically any type of hat, made out of beaver fur, the soft inner fur of the beaver pelt. And fashion was driving the fur trapping industry, and very, very lucrative. John Jacob Astor was a pretty astute businessman, and he realized that if I can get control of the Columbia River region, and, you know, I can get really, really rich. And, you know, they would trade and start trapping for furs, and they'd all get shipped back to Europe and turned into fashionable hat wear.
Yeah. And there was a big demand for it, not only in Europe, but as well in China as well. And Astor knew that he could, of course, take the furs to China and trade for goods in China that were very popular in Europe and America, the teas and silks and spices and other things. So it was huge. It was really driving a world economy at the time.
So. Now, this encampment that's out at Fort Stevens, period, authentically correct camp, is, you can bring some things out to trade. They also take, apparently, money. If
yes,
you
we will
buy
take
things.
Money or gold, yes.
Money, gold.
Some people will take dogs and small children.
Okay.
Gold is really key these days.
Yeah.
And actually, some of the traders will actually accept what they like to term as letters of credit. And we're more familiar with them as little rectangular plastic cards that have numbers embossed on them.
Oh, I see. Those are called letters of credit. I see. Okay,
but they like to refer to them as letters of credit.
That's okay. Right. And that's pretty much what you had back then as well. John Jacob Astor sent his men along with, you know, letters of credit, and they could use those throughout the world, really. I mean, they would go to China, and they'd have to produce their letter of credit, and
so they
that's kind of how it kept things going,
money,
and it was a promise to get paid.
Okay,
yeah,
certainly, so, promissory notes.
Yeah.
Okay. And there is a lot of trading going on. You said, Neo, yesterday was the very first day that you were open to the public. And you had people coming in and looking at all, and there were there's entertainment throughout the day. There are just a lot of things going on. So what happened yesterday when the public came out?
We were actually a little surprised at the numbers that came out. You know,
Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday, and it being opening day. And it was a steady stream of people all day long. And Jane and I were manning the welcome tent where everybody has to come by, and we give them a little literature and, you know, some gentle warnings about, you know, don't stick your hand in the fires, and the axes are sharp, don't touch them. And as they would come back out, we would ask, you know, did you have a good time? You know, what were some of the things you enjoyed? And people were just raving about the great time they had. And some people, they'd come in early and you wouldn't see them until late afternoon. They'd been there all day and just...
And there were a number of folks who came in, had to come back out, find an ATM, and come back in again, which was really fun. Do you know
they didn't
the
have their letter
ATM?
Of credit with them, did they?
They did not have their letter of credit with them.
But it was just phenomenal yesterday. We were so happy that the number of people that came in and said, oh, we're going to go get our friends and come back tomorrow. And
well, and because not only this is it's a place where you can eat, you can purchase things, and you really can immerse yourself in history. So it is educational. I know one of the things you really want is to have young people come out.
Yes.
And
yes.
And are there, so there are children in the camp as well, and
we, as families. Let's see, I think from what our roster is saying right now, we have one child in camp. As the weekend gets closer, we'll be picking up a few more. We've had people who've come in, set up their camps, gone home, gone back to work, and will come back in this weekend.
Okay. But the camp is still up. I mean, it's a big
camp.
It's fabulous. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we're talking about the first ever Astoria Fur Trade Encampment at Fort Stevens, which is free, open to the public. It's open today from 10 to 6, tomorrow 10 to 6, all the way through Sunday. And in the studio, I have Jane and Jeff Donnelly, and they look quite fabulous in their period costumes. And also Sam Rasko, who is the marketing director for the Clatsop County Historical Society. And all of this because it is Astoria's bicentennial year. So this is a very rare event, and I would encourage all of you listening to go out to the fur trading encampment. I went last night, and I'm excited to go back again when it's light and I can see everything that's going on out there. Jeff, what? So how did you get involved with this? You and Jane have been involved now for...
Only about 6 years, actually. There are people that we know that have been doing this for 30, 40 years, but we're still relatively new at it, and just so happened we were at the right place at the right time when somebody asked for a suggestion for the bicentennial. And
3 years ago.
3 years ago. And I raised my hand and said, how about a fur trade encampment? And they said, yeah, that sounds good. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, so let's say 6 years ago you said, Jane, you know, I've always wanted to dress in buckskins. I've always wanted to just step back in time and do this. So will you come with me? And then what did you do? You just found one happening somewhere in Montana or Wyoming or Idaho or somewhere, and then you just went to
that? We actually spent probably 2 years researching and trying to get ready and put our stuff together, our camp and whatnot, so we wouldn't look too green. And then we found a site in Wyoming that is, they still every year have a mountain man rendezvous on the site of the original 1838 rendezvous where the trade caravans came out and traded for the furs and whatnot. But it's on the actual site. So we thought, what better way to start? And ever since then, we've just been hooked. And we do a couple of rendezvous every year. And the more you do, the more fun you have. And
what do you need in order to, let's say, if I said, okay, I want to be part of an encampment, and there are women there who come by themselves in camp, there are men, there are families and all that.
Yeah.
How did you know what you needed? Okay, we need a canvas tent, we need period costumes. I mean, how did you know?
Well, what with the internet these days, all you have to do is Google mountain man or rendezvous or something like that, and thousands of websites will come up with information about everything you need or don't need, and you have to be a little selective about which ones you want to believe and which ones you don't want to believe, because a lot of people are just trying to sell you stuff. But basically, you need a shelter of some sort, some kind of canvas or oilcloth tent. You'll see many different styles and varieties. Some way to cook, whether it's a ground fire or, an above ground thing. Some period correct clothing and something to cook in or drink out of, and you're pretty well set.
And it's fun, Jane.
It's
you said everybody.
Fun.
Why? Yeah. What's the most fun about this for you as a woman?
Oh, you read history and it all, you know, the fact I've never been good with numbers. So the dates and the people and how they all fit together have never clicked for me. So doing something like this, my biggest enjoyment is sitting down with a historical book while I'm sitting out there, and I'll read a passage and then I'll look up and I'll look at what we're doing and I'll think, we just spent 3 hours cooking breakfast. How the heck did they do this? It puts into perspective how easy our lives are now. And I think that's part of that is our ancestors were pretty doggone amazing. They worked very hard, and they must have pursued happiness, because otherwise their lives were very hard and very grim, and they worked. You know, to get up and get the kids fed and to get the houses moving, and then to have to go find the food you were going to feed them, it all took a lot of effort. It's pretty amazing. And I think that's the part that makes your history more interesting.
Well, and also, if I may interject, Jane is quite a fabulous seamstress, and she has made just about all of her clothes. Maybe a couple of dresses have been bought, but what she's wearing today, she actually made by hand. She made the shirt I'm wearing. It's just, and she really enjoys that a lot, you know, getting into the styles and
so there's lots to do.
Yes, and I think that even though their lives perhaps were harder in some ways, there was a lot of community. There was a reward. You could see a lot of people who are in offices today never go home at the end of the day saying, "What did I accomplish? I moved papers around and maybe made a few phone calls." And there you really do see the benefits of your labor,
right?
And I think that there is something about simply sitting around, you know, a campfire or sitting around whittling wood or looking up and at the stars or just being out in that environment mm-hmm. together. That is a very special thing.
Yeah.
And that's why keep doing it. You keep doing it because now you have friends who are doing this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And, you know, a lot of them are friends we see maybe once or twice a year at different events, but, you know, you still have the memories from the past events you've been to, and it's like you just saw each other last week. And it's so much fun, and especially the rendezvous were in the summertime when the kids come with their parents, and they're just running around like kids would have done 200 years ago, you know, barefoot and just running loose and having a great time. And
they don't need all the technology and all
no,
the toys.
They're, right, no.
Yes, exactly.
Nope.
And there are different kinds of rendezvous. Some are muzzleloaders where they're actually shooting competitions, but this is not. And then some encampments are just private. They're not open to the public. This encampment really is more educational because it is open to the public, correct?
Yes, that's mm-hmm. correct. And we strongly want the public to come out and the kids and, you know, we can teach you all sorts of things from how to load and fire a flintlock rifle to how to start your own fire with flint and steel to there's one fellow that's doing a seminar on beaver trapping and has stretched beaver hides to show you how they were actually done. Just a whole plethora of things. We can teach the kids how to throw a tomahawk at a block of wood, which is always fun.
And just being out there, I think, is a very healthy thing. So we want to get the teachers and the school children and families to really take advantage of this opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Sam, I haven't even really talked to you very much at all now because we've been focusing on this fur trade encampment. There are all kinds of other things happening. Tell us from your perspective what's going on.
Well, one big event I really want to talk about is our buildings tour, historic buildings tour here in Astoria, Saturday, 12:30 to 4:30. You won't find it in the brochures that's out for the Super Homecoming weekend. Unfortunately, it wasn't put together soon enough for that. But in place of our historic homes tour, which traditionally would have taken place Regatta weekend, we moved it to the Super Homecoming weekend. And we're going to feature several buildings here in Astoria that you normally don't get in to see, such as the attic of the Flavel House will be open for the first time to the public.
Will there be skeletons in that attic?
There's always skeletons in our attic.
In every attic. Skeletons in every attic.
And the Elks Lodge, the Armory Building. Mm. Some people won't even recognize some of these names because they never think of them in those terms. The Oddfellows Building downtown, the Gunderson Building, the second floor. It's like walking into a Dick Tracy scene from a 1930s movie. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets are available at the Heritage Museum or at the Bicentennial Trading Post at the foot of 15th Street. The Heritage Museum, for those of you that may not be aware, is the former City Hall located at 16th and Exchange Street. It's $12 per person, $10 if you happen to be a Historical Society member. And I always encourage people to join and become members. But that's going to be a fun thing to do on Saturday. Now, in addition to that, you got the fur trade encampment going on all week. And I encourage people definitely get out there as soon as you can. See that because it is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. Maybe we'll be lucky enough to have it again in the future. Also this weekend, you have, as you mentioned, Judy Collins concert Saturday night and Sunday matinee. There's Super Homecoming dinner dance out at the fairgrounds to benefit the athletics program for the high school. You also have the air show at the airport and the Fisherman's Festival at Tongue Point. I mean, it is a weekend that, frankly, most of you should probably take Friday off of work.
And
enjoy. Too much to do.
I know. What riches in this small community. And that's, and really all of these events are coming together because this is kind of the last big bicentennial blowout.
Almost. We have one final thing that we're going to have at the end of the year, and it's going to be predominantly for us historians to say goodbye to the bicentennial birthday. So New Year's Eve, we will have a big dinner and dance bash. So
right.
Be prepared to hear more about that one.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so right now, though, you can go out to the Furcane Trade Encampment at Fort Stevens today. It's free.
It's free. Remember,
parking
there's $3.
Is $5.
$5.
$5.
Okay. Oh, I forgot they changed
it. Well, for the park.
Yeah, that's the park's
day
use
to the park.
Fee.
We have to support our parks. Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And they've bent over backwards, I think, and been very helpful in putting this together. $5 for parking is nothing compared to what it would have cost. had they not stepped up for us.
Just and it doesn't matter how many people you get into the vehicle for $5.
Okay.
You take a bus out, it's $5. You take a moped out, it's $5.
Yeah, okay. So load up the car.
That's right. And then just wear your walking shoes because you're going to walk around this big camp, and mm-hmm. and it's fascinating. You'll see people doing things that they did a couple of hundred years ago. Well, 1811, actually, yeah. We're talking about. That's
200 years ago.
That's right. Okay. Oh, my gosh. We are in 2011.
Seems like yesterday, doesn't it?
It does seem like yesterday. And I like what you said about that numbers and dates and people's names. But when you really are in it, when you feel like you stepped right into a history book when you walk out into that fair trade encampment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
Just feel like, oh, okay.
That's right. I suggest you leave your cell phone in the car and try to experience it.
Exactly. That's a really good idea,
that would be
Sam.
Fabulous.
That's
but
a good
please
idea.
Bring your cameras.
Yeah.
Bring your cameras. Bring your kids.
Yes, the children, so important to bring young people out. And if you want more information about the fur trade encampment, you can call the Astoria Bicentennial storefront office, which is at 15th Street in Astoria, and that number is 503-325-5889. And I'll leave the brochure here at the station if you want to call after the program. So the fur trade encampment is happening now. Judy Collins is Saturday night and Sunday. The air show, the
Saturday
really big for you is the buildings tour.
Yep.
And that's from
12:30 to 4:30. Come by the Heritage Museum or the Bicentennial Trading Post store to get your tickets now. It should be fun. It's buildings you may not have been in or you haven't been in years, and a chance to see a little bit of Astoria's built history.
Fur, fish, you know, the Fisherman's Festival. There's so much going on.
And that's Saturday and Sunday, so you can save
that's
it
right.
for...
That's exactly right.
Not to mess them up, but save it for Sunday so you can do these other things
so
on Saturday.
That's right. So you can do the fur trade encampment today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday the buildings
Sunday.
Tour, Sunday the Fisherman's Festival.
You people have no excuse to be sitting at home.
No, because especially when there's such a great opportunity us to be, you know.
And we'd love to have you out there.
And remember, it's probably the last weekend of great weather.
Now,
right?
Sam, we're not going to go with that. We're going to believe that it's just going to, because that's it. Optimism is what keeps us going.
Yeah, so I still need good weather because I've got some painting yet to finish.
Okay, that's right. All right. So, Jeff Donnelly, thank you so much for being here and for spearheading this entire effort, which has taken you a few years to put together. And with only 6 years under your belt as a fur trade encampment participant, it's very impressive what you've done.
Yes, well, not just me, but it's without Jane's the smart one. And without her, I'd be sitting in a corner drooling on myself or something. I wouldn't know what
or
to
painting.
Do.
You're an artist.
Yeah.
Jane, do you have any last words you'd like to tell anyone?
Please come. We were hoping desperately to have classrooms be able to come out, but with the turn of the economy, that fell through. So
because
come on,
of budgets
folks,
for the
bring
buses
your
and
children.
Things. Yeah, yeah. Bring the young people.
You don't need
out.
A school bus. Get your kids out there.
That's
get
right.
your kids out
and,
there,
and
please.
And carpool. Get the families out there for the fur trade encampment. It's just, it's a real kind of a once
If you don't have a
It'll
car, I'm
well
sure the buses
it.
Go to Fort Stevens. So
that's right.
Yeah.
We can figure
there.
This out. Sam, thank you so much for being here
thank
today.
You.
Buildings tour.
Yep,
we know
buildings
that's,
tour.
Okay, on Saturday. I want to thank all of you who listened to this program and Kathleen Morgane, our engineer this morning. Thank you so much, Kathleen. And I want to extend my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath with gratitude for all the good things in your life and focus on those good things and expand on them. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug, or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now, in this moment, the only moment which exists right now, on the amazing planet we call Earth.